Matthew chapter 6, verses 7 to 15. Jesus said to his disciples, "In praying, do not babble like the pagans who think they will be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them. Your Father knows what you need before you ask him. This is how you are to pray. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. If you forgive others their transgressions, your heavenly Father will forgive you. But if you do not forgive others, neither will your Father forgive your transgressions." And so the gospel. Today's gospel forms the third part of the Sermon on the Mount. We begin with almsgiving, prayer, and fasting. The author's concerned that these actions be sincere and warns us about performing actions just for others to see them. The central section contains the Lord's Prayer and then goes on to speak about forgiveness of sins. The author I consulted wonders whether the Lord's Prayer isn't an addition to an otherwise carefully crafted teaching. Then he goes on to concede that really you could take the Lord's Prayer as the spiritual heart of all the teachings of the followers of Jesus. The prayer is done very much in the style of first century Judaism. What I love about this type of prayer is that it names God with extraordinary beauty, rather than the narrow, clutching sort of prayer that is filled with self-interest. This prayer attempts a description of the grandeur of God. It has even been suggested that the Lord's Prayer could be an adaptation or shortened form of the 18 benedictions that a devout Jew would say three times a day. This is a wonderful prayer filled with imaginative descriptions of God. In describing a loved one in such beautiful terms, we're elevated into a whole new level of prayerful attention. If you ever get the chance to spend some time with the 18 benedictions that form the daily prayer of the devout Jew, I think you'd really be delighted. It was called the Amidah, from the Hebrew word meaning standing, the usual posture for the prayer. The benedictions are generous in scope, vivid in poetic richness, direct and simple in beauty. It captures something of the very mystery of God and celebrates the many ways in which the divine favor touches our lives. Unlike so many prayers that are complex and busy and obscure, one could reference here the recent translations of the Roman Missal. We're presently trying to struggle with these. These aren't translations at all, of course, but just transliterations in a truly foreign language. In English, our prayer is best when it is direct, simple, and beautiful. All of these reflections come to me as a challenge because too often I can hear the words of Matthew's gospel and say, "Oh, I know the Lord's Prayer. I already know that," and then skip on to the next phrase. Think of the ways that we have used and misused the Lord's Prayer for less noble purposes. As a penance for my sins, as a call to silence at the beginning of a meeting, to gain an indulgence. Why, even today when I travel, I say an Our Father, Hail Mary, and Glory Be before I set out on a difficult journey or a plane ride or a retreat or preaching assignment that I find challenging. I'll probably continue to always do that, and I especially love the Our Father as part of the silent music of the Rosary. At times, people have used the Lord's Prayer to organize themes of a retreat, or have set it to beautiful music. These are good things, but today I want to consider letting the Jewish prayer sensibilities at the root of the prayer emerge and speak to us from within in a fresh way as we slowly ponder these all too familiar words. Slow down, use the words, let them speak to you. Not about the intensity of your own needs or even the necessity that you forgive and be forgiven. Let the meaning rise up from the words as a surpassing description of God, who at all times is in glory and beauty beyond all imagining, who sustains us in life with a generosity that is astonishing, who visits us with mercy so that our deepest needs and the contradictions of our selfishness are healed and set free. You know the Lord's Prayer by heart, so let the words slowly rise up to your lips and realize in them not just a statement of our needs, but a marvelous evocation of divine life and presence, which serves as a sort of foundation for this familiar prayer that we now say with renewed joy, a fresh discovery. The richness of the 18 benedictions shines forth, and then the marvelous evocation of the very being of God, the refreshing promise of the resurrection, the cherishing of an image of God that is truly astonishing in its beauty and grandeur. Why, this is the great religious heritage that can speak to us as we gently rehearse the familiar words of that dear and beautiful prayer that is so familiar and cherished to us by us all. Take some time. Let the words speak to you as you celebrate that God is your Father, reigns in glory, provides for our needs, allows us to know and receive the miracle of forgiveness, and so many other blessings that come to mind as we give ourselves to the words in which the kingdom of God is realized now and at all times. Our Father, who art in heaven.